Friends, the psalmist reminds us that our days are like grass. We flourish like a flower of the field, for the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord, says the psalmist, is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him and trust in his name. Please be seated. Well, friends, I invite you now to stand and join in song as we sing the hymn, Stand Up and Bless the Lord. Please be seated. Well, friends, again, welcome. Thank you for joining us for this very special morning here at Scots Church and online via YouTube live streaming, coming at us from a slightly different angle in the church this morning. Hello to you online. In a few minutes, we'll be enjoying Bach's famous Cantata 106, which reflects on the theme that life is short, so we best put things right with our Maker. It's always good advice, even when delivered in German. If you're not fluent in that language, though, I would encourage you to follow along with the translation in the program. If you are with us on YouTube live streaming today, you will notice producer Monty has added a QR code in the top corner of your screen, and you can scan that to download the order of service at home. We are nothing if not high-tech here at Scots. Now, if you're new with us this morning, please introduce yourself on the card that you'll find in your pew. We love making newcomers welcome and keeping you in touch with happenings here at Scots. And I'd invite everyone to join us for a cuppa over at the mezzanine level of the Westpac building behind me. You can go out through these doors or wander around via the footpath and you'll find signs that will help you find your way there. Finally, there will be a wreath-laying ceremony at the monument in our front garden on Remembrance Day. That's Friday at 11 a.m. and you'd be very welcome to come along and be part of that. We're going to sing again now before we hand over to the choir. And our hymn is Fairest Lord Jesus.
Our first scripture reading this morning is from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 to 11. For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek, and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to cast away, a time to tear, and a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate, a time for war, and a time for peace. What gain has the worker from his toil? I have seen the business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity into man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end.
Please join me in prayer. Eternal Father, Master of time and giver and taker of the gift of life, we pray that you would teach us to number our days that we might have wise hearts. Just as the grass withers and flowers fade, remind us afresh today that in due time, each of us will give account to you. Each of us will be called to answer for our own response to the claims and the call of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Humble our hearts, we pray. Give us that due sense of awe before you now, so that instead of chasing after the things of this world, our hearts would be set on eternal things, that we might rightly glorify you, our Maker and Sustainer, living lives of thanksgiving and praise as we truly learn to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. These things we ask in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Well, our very warm thanks, Douglas, our music director, the choir, the soloists, the ensemble. That was just a delightful part of our morning. The work for our musicians isn't over yet, though. We're going to sing again now. The children who would like to leave for Sunday school will do that during this hymn. The offering will be collected for our regular members. If you'd like to contribute, this is your opportunity to do so. And we're going to stand and sing the hymn, "O Love, How Deep."
Let us now join our hearts and minds in prayer. Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come, we praise and give you thanks for every season you have created. Thank you for the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we have the promise of eternal life with God. And thank you for the gift of life, the blessings and the challenges in our lives, knowing that whatever is happening and what we are facing right now, God will make everything beautiful in His time, for every season belongs to God. Righteous Father, we thank you for this delightful choir ministry here at Scots Church, and we pray that you would bless our music director, Douglas Lawrence, the Scots Church members, the members of the Melbourne Baroque Orchestra, which today presents the beautiful Bach Cantata 106 with the theme, "God's time is the best time." Loving God, that you would blessed, and may the words sung today would remind all of us who Christ is, the way, the truth, and the life. God of the past, present, and future, we pray for your church on earth and churches in our city, in country, including Scots Church and its constituents. We ask that you would open the ears, the hearts, and minds of those who love Jesus, so your church might be filled with your love and peace, knowledge, wisdom, and understanding of your will. Bless us with unity and peace, and increase your church in this place and the churches in the world with more and more people who would love Jesus and love one another. Loving God, we acknowledge that our blessings come from you, for you are Yahweh Jireh, the provider God. Loving God, please give us the courage to prioritize God first and not earthly riches. Help us not be possessed by our possessions and instead to be rich towards you. Lord of the church, we pray for courage, strength, wisdom, guidance, and protection for our senior minister, Reverend Philip Campbell, his wife, Louise, our church leaders, the ministry team, elders, the board of management and trustees, staff and volunteers. Bless each and every one of them and make all of us compassionate, gracious, patient, and loving servants of our servant King Jesus Christ. We remember those who are lonely, sad, or sick in our church community and beyond. We remember those whose illness is long-term and demands much patience to bear. Loving God, we pray that you would strengthen with those present all who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. And we thank you for giving them courage and hope. May they all draw strength, that you are with them in all their troubles. We remember our friends, Stuart Banks, who is currently in hospital, and receive the news that James Lowe, the son of Margaret and Brian Lowe, is in hospital suffering from heart attack, that you would be with each and every one of them. Loving God, now bless the tithes and offerings we give today. We ask that every amount be invested in furthering your work. Grant wisdom to those who will handle the appropriation of these funds and bless the works of our hands. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
The second reading is from Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What should I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.'" But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich towards God."
You can be pretty sure that if you stick around here at Scott's for long enough, you will get something for every musical taste. A few minutes ago, we heard from Bach. And now I want to remind you of a little bit of 60s folk from the Byrds. Some of us will remember their hit single from 1965 called "Turn, Turn, Turn," which was, of course, lifted directly from the text of the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes, and so holds the record as the top 40 song with the oldest lyrics, which is maybe why the words of our first reading from the Old Testament were familiar to you this morning. You might have even found yourself humming along. The Seekers recorded a local version as well the next year. "To everything, turn, 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 there is a season, turn, 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 and a time for every purpose under heaven." Now, if you've never read it through in the original, the book of Ecclesiastes, it is a fascinatingly philosophical part of the Old Testament, where the teacher, as he calls himself, examines what he calls life under the sun and describes everything wrong with it, which is quite a lot. It's a book you need to read with a kind of the sardonic tone of a New York cab driver, just the right mix of sparkle with a sharp cutting undertone. And so, yes, for everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. And yet that, of course, brings both the good and the bad, both the happy and the sad, in almost equal measure. So if you look back at that first reading in the order of service, there's a list of 14 contrasts, all with a time for the positive, balanced by a time for a sense, the negative opposite. A time for planting and for plucking. A time for building, but equally for breaking, for looking and for losing. You win some, you lose some. But the big one for the teacher is the one that he puts first on the list: a time to be born, a time to die. Which ultimately is the major theme of the whole book of Ecclesiastes, that while everything is beautiful in its time, while there is a timeliness to life, no matter what you busy yourself with along the way, everything we do, it seems, is undone by our mortality. And so there's this from verse 9. "What gain has the worker from his toil? I've seen the busyness that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he's put eternity into man's heart. yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. So you see, here's the big difference between us and sheep. We think about eternity. We can't help it. They think about grass. Eternity, infinite time ahead, spins around in our minds, which the ancient teacher says is like a little splinter of a deeper awareness that we can't ever fathom and never ever will. God has put eternity into our hearts, but puts a frustratingly short limit on our lives, which ultimately brings us face to face with the question, what's the point? What gain has the worker from his or her toil? Well, as it turns out, Sixt Car Rentals have found the answer. Like everyone else at the moment, they're understaffed. So they've got a sign in their window down at Spencer Street that says this: life is short, work somewhere awesome. And then in smaller print, hint, it's awesome to work at Sixt Car Rentals. But do you think, really, that's the answer? Life's short, rent cars to tourists in the daytime, have a few drinks in the evening. Satisfaction. The teacher in Ecclesiastes is going to disagree. The problem is bigger than that. As we'll see in a moment, Jesus is going to disagree. And if you listened, Bach disagrees as well. At the very least, says the teacher, asking questions of meaning, asking questions of eternity, thinking deeply about what time it is in the light of our own mortality. That, says the teacher, is the start of the pathway to real wisdom. So, as we heard, Bach's Cantata 106, it picks up that same theme of time and our boundaries. God's time is the time appointed. In his presence, all have their being as long as he wills. And we die in him in his own time when he wills. God himself, who is outside of time, sets the right time for everything, including you, including me. And the first tenor solo points us to the fact that having that in mind is the first step in finding wisdom. O Lord, cause us to remember that we also must perish, that we might seek wisdom. Now, that is a solemn thought for a Sunday morning, isn't it? Like most of Bach's cantatas, this one was produced for an occasion, the occasion being the funeral service of Adolf Strecker, the local mayor. It's kind of safer listening to the lyrics in German, isn't it? Because the fact is, Bach is so uncomfortably blunt. Here he is again in the bass aria. Make ready your house, for you shall perish and live on earth no longer. Make ready your house. Get your affairs in order, because according to that ancient law, you and I must perish. There is a time to be born and a time to die. And wisdom, it seems, lies in living with that sure knowledge, so you're not taken by surprise. Which then is the theme, of course, that Jesus picks up in that famous parable of the rich fool, who is caught by surprise. His only ambition in life is to work hard, play hard, build bigger barns. He's not working in car rental, as it turns out, but as a successful farmer. Now, it's funny the way it opens, with two brothers, you see, arguing about their inheritance. That in itself should be all the hint they need to know that it's not going to last. Their dad has just died. You know the old line, how much did he leave? The answer, everything. Absolutely everything, because you can't take any of it with you. That was their dad. And now they're fighting over the stuff that they won't be able to take with them either. So they come to Jesus, of all people, to ask him to sort it out. And in response, he tells a story. The farmer who's had a bumper crop, best year ever. The problem is, this was a guy who thought that life consisted in the abundance of his possessions. So, recall what happens. He's thinking to himself, what'll I do? I've got nowhere to store my crops. And then it dawns on him. This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and I'll build bigger ones. And there I'll store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you've got plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. It's not rocket science economically, I guess. Store up your surplus. Then a comfortable retirement. Prudent. Smart. The problem is, of course, that he's thinking no further than patting himself on the back and taking it easy. Instead of, in Bach's words, making ready his house for the fact that at any time, death may be just around the corner. So God says to him, verse 20 in the second reading, you fool! This very night, your life will be demanded from you. Then who'll get what you've prepared for yourself? The answer, of course, that his angry sons will no doubt be arguing about it before his body's even cold. So this is how it will be, says Jesus, for whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich towards God. Interesting phrase, isn't it? Rich towards God. Liberal, I guess, generous of heart towards heavenly things, investing time and energy in the long term by making sure things are put right between you and God as a top priority, rather than something just to be pushed aside until later, left until the last minute, as so many of us do. This is about what in your heart counts as truly valuable. Which is where, of course, Bach leads us with his cantata. As a man of real faith himself, there is a quiet calm that God has redeemed him. And so he commits his soul, his eternity, to God's safe keeping. Into your keeping I shall commit my soul, for you have redeemed me, O Lord, you faithful God. Which is where he finds contentment and true satisfaction. Looking to Christ, he says in the final chorus, to win the fight against mortality in his own resurrection. So Bach invests his own heart there. May thy great might win us the fight through Christ our Saviour. And then lots of amens. The old word that literally just means truly, truly, truly. The bottom line being, be wise, not a fool, by being ready for eternity, by investing your faith in Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Prepare your house by putting things right between you and the God of eternity. Investing your trust in in that real future hope, living in the life of that reality instead of just busying yourself to fill your barns. There is eternity to be grappled with. In the light of what Jesus says, a life beyond this one. So let's make sure, with Bach's encouragement, that we set our hearts there. Amen. We're going to sing again now the hymn, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. Well, friends, what a wonderful morning it's been. Thank you so much for being with us this morning. Just a reminder, our contemporary 5 p.m. service is held in the hall opposite, the Werner Brodbeck, a guest preacher this evening, and you're very welcome to come along and be part of that. Don't forget, too, refreshments will be served on the mezzanine floor in the building immediately behind. If you could move over there as quickly as you can, we'll see you there. And now may grace, mercy and peace from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be upon us now and remain with us forevermore. Amen.